today. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, welcome to Bethel, man. Welcome in-house and online. Come on, y'all, put your hands together for our online visitors. Let's let them know that we love them and we're thankful for them to do. Let me be the first to tell you today, Merry Christmas. Turn to your neighbor right quick and say, hey, neighbor, Merry Christmas. Tell your other neighbor, say, hey, Merry Christmas. Christmas, yeah, it's our Christmas service here at Bethel, and we're excited to be here with you today. And so I'll just tell you starting out that there is a joke running around here at church and within my family of how it ain't no joke, Conrad said. How I, you know, Christmas is just not my favorite time of year. I'll go ahead and say that. You know what I mean? And it's a joke, but really and truly, if you think about it and you talk about it and you ponder on it a little bit, Christmas really is the most wonderful time of the year. It's when we get to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if we're born again believers, how many of you are born again today? Let me hear you say a good amen. Yeah. If we're born again, it's a great time to celebrate. It's a great time to choose. I mean, you know, sometimes we have to choose joy. It's a choice that we have to make, and so we choose joy. And so today we're going to talk about the Christmas story. I'm just going to read you lots of scripture today. We're just going to go through the Bible, and we're going to look, because how many of you know the power in the preaching of the Word of God is actually the Word of God and not the man or woman presenting the Word of God? And so today we're going to read lots of scripture. We're going to read the entire Christmas story, and it's such a cool story. When I start thinking about the Christmas story, my mind goes to the nativity scene. When you drive through these little towns, and we love rural America, and we love these little towns, and when you drive through these little towns, there's always one church that has the nativity scene set up in their front yard. It's usually the Baptist church. Come on, let's just be real, okay? So you drive through and you see that little thing, and it's such a cute little scene, and everything is so perfectly positioned and placed up there. And my wife, she drags out our Christmas decorations, usually before Thanksgiving. Come on, somebody. And so she's got these little ceramic things that she decorates with, and it's the nativity scene. And like I said, we see it in the movies. We see it everywhere. It's the cutest little manger scene. That's got to be the cleanest barn I've ever seen in my life. We call it a manger, but it really is nothing but a barn that Jesus was born in. Everything is in its proper order. There's a little donkey standing there. There's a little bitty lamb. There's a Jersey milk cow standing there. And this baby is laying in a feed trough wrapped in these cute little clothes. It's so good. That entire story is such a cool story, but I love it for many reasons. I love the story because we see that picture, but do we know what happened in order for that scene to come to pass? Do we really understand and think in our mind what Mary went through and what Joseph went through and how the God of wonders worked miracles to make that scene come to pass? It really is. It's such a cool story. It's a story of adversity. I mean, you know, Mary went through some struggles to get over there to give birth to that baby. She went through some struggles, some crazy things. We're going to talk about it in a minute. Some crazy things happened to her. Like an angel from heaven appeared to her. She got pregnant by the Holy Spirit, y'all. It's this wild scene. And then Joseph, he trusted Mary. And what happened, it's that they went through so much adversity. And can I tell you something today? If you and I are going to follow the will of God, if you and I are going to see the plans of God come to pass in our life, we're going to have to overcome some adversity. There is this doctrine that seems to be going around now that if I will just make a confession that Jesus is my Lord, if I go to the front of the church and I go under the waters of baptism in front of everyone, there seems to be this doctrine that says everything is going to be rosy and everything is going to be easy. And can I tell you that the enemy is a liar? And once you step up and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and once you begin to make a change in your lifestyle and in your habits, that's when the enemy is going to come and attack, and we're going to have to tough it up, and we're going to have to learn how to overcome some adversity. The story is a story of overcoming adversity. It's a story of doing hard things. Can I just preach to y'all second service today? I just want to preach to you a little bit. I just want to preach to you because you know what? God did not save us. God did not send his only begotten son to die on a cross and to shed the blood so that we could just do easy, simple, comfortable things. You know what? We were created for more than easy. We were created for more than comfortable. You and I were created to do some hard things. And you and I, some of us in this very room, this very moment, you need to renew your mind and you need to quit feeling sorry for yourself and you need to quit having a pity party because things are hard in your life. The reason that we need a Savior is so that we can overcome hard things. It's a story of adversity, overcoming adversity. It's a story of doing hard things for the kingdom of God. It's a story of God's perfect plans coming to pass. How many of you know God has plans for you? Come on, somebody. I said God has plans for you. God has plans for you. God has plans for me. Plans that our eyes haven't seen and our ears haven't heard and neither has entered into our heart. God has gone before us and he has prepared a way. He has plans for us to prosper us and not harm us. God, this is a story of God's perfect plan coming to pass. And here's what I'm afraid of, for me anyway. I'm afraid that this miraculous story has become all too normal for you and I. Now, we don't think about it, we don't talk about it, and we just see this nativity scene for a couple of weeks out of the year, and we go, oh, wow, yes, Jesus came, and he was born on Christmas Day. I'm afraid that it's become too normal and too ordinary in our minds. The entire plans of God, here's what I want you to see. This entire story of Jesus being born to a virgin, it is nothing short of the supernatural power of God. How many of you know we serve a God that is a supernatural God, that has supernatural power, that can do things that don't make any sense to us, that can do the things that seem impossible to man? I want us to talk about the supernatural power of God today. Let's define that word supernatural so that we just know, so that we all know supernatural. It means above and beyond what is natural or explainable. How many know that's what God does? It is abnormal. It is a phenomenon. It's a phenomenon. And so today, we're going to read a lot of scripture, and we're going to look at how phenomenal it is that Jesus was born so many years ago. My prayer today is this, that you and I will see, that we will recognize it, we will have this new revelation, and we will embrace the supernatural power of God moving forward in our lives. Not only, I want you to see this, not only is the scripture that I'm going to read today supernatural, I want you to know right up front that the scripture that I'm going to read today from the New Testament is actually prophecy that was prophesied some 700 to 800 years earlier by the prophet Isaiah. That God said, this is what's going to happen. And then 700 to 800 years later, what God said would happen is exactly what unfolded in the birth of Jesus Christ. It truly is a supernatural display of the power of God. Let's pray, and then we're going to read some scripture. Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak to us today. Lord, we come into this place from many different areas, many different positions in life, Lord. So I pray that right now you would open our minds and our hearts to hear this story in a new way, to hear the story in a fresh way, that, Lord, we would leave here today and go, you know what? I serve a supernatural God that can do the abnormal and that is a phenomenon in my life. Lord, speak to us and challenge us as we read the Christmas story in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Luke chapter 1, we're going to read some scripture. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse number 26. You can scroll there on your phone, flip there in your Bible, open your iPad, however you read the Word of God. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. It says this, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph. He was a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. She was confused and she was disturbed. Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. The angel said, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, well, how is this going to be? Because I'm still a virgin. And the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and will be called the Son of God. What's even more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. Verse 37, for the word of God will never fail. For the word of God will never fail. And Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And the angel left her. Now let's think about this for a moment. Mary is a teenage girl. She is doing whatever teenage girls do in her home. I don't know exactly what Mary was doing. Maybe she was having her daily devotion and she was reading her Bible. Maybe she was in the kitchen getting ready to cook a meal for her family. Maybe she was drinking coffee. Maybe she was doing the dishes or the laundry. But this young teenage woman, all of a sudden, an angel from heaven shows up in her house. Now, come on, somebody. That's supernatural. Can I hear a good amen? An angel from heaven shows up and has a message for Mary. This message is from God himself. That is nothing short of supernatural. The scripture says that when the angel showed up, Mary was scared and confused. She was scared and confused. And the angel says, don't be scared, Mary, because you have found favor with God. This angel delivers a message. Mary overcomes her fear. She goes, okay, I've read about this supernatural God, and now he sent this angel, and it's happening in my house. And she gathers herself and gathers her thoughts, and she's like, okay, what is this message? And the angel says, Mary, you about to be pregnant, girl. And Mary's like, hold up just a minute. Like, I know how this deal works, angel. And I am still a virgin. I have kept myself. I have kept myself pure. I have fought past my flesh. I am saving myself for marriage day to give myself unto my husband. And Mary says, how is this going to work? And the angel says to Mary, you're going to become pregnant when the Holy Spirit comes over you. Not only will you be pregnant from the Holy Spirit, this child that you are going to give birth to, this particular child will be called holy. He will be called the Son of God, and he will reign over God's kingdom, and his reign will never end. This is known as the Immaculate Conception. This is known as the Immaculate Conception. She conceived a child still being a virgin by the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about why that is so important in a moment. But I want you to see what the prophet Isaiah said. I told you this, and so I want to prove it to you in Scripture. I want you to see what the prophet Isaiah said 700 to 800 years earlier than this moment. Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. All right, then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look. The virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Can you imagine this supernatural moment that Mary had? Mary hears all this. She receives all this. And then here is my favorite part of this scripture. Mary says, let it be so. Don't make sense to me. I'm a little confused. I'm a little disturbed. I'm a little bit afraid, but I love God and I know God. And she says, let it be so. Let it be so. So powerful, so cool. So Mary has this moment, this supernatural moment with an angel. She's excited. She's fired up. But listen to this. Mary's engaged to be married to someone. His name is Joseph. How do you think that he took Mary's story? Now look, Joseph, you're going to start to see this bump in my belly. And I'm telling you, I have been faithful. I have been loyal. I am still a virgin, but yet I am pregnant. How many know that might be a hard pill to swallow? Come on, somebody. She goes and she shares with him, and watch, I want you to see, he's a little bit confused. He's struggling with this just a little bit. Let's turn to scripture and see what happens in Joseph's life, because I want you to know this. When God is working in one area, he is also working in another area. When God is working on our heart, he's always working on someone else's heart. Mary has this supernatural encounter. She shares with Joseph, he's struggling. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, we'll start reading in verse 19. Joseph, to whom Mary was engaged, he was a righteous man, and he did not want to disgrace Mary publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. The angel said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Watch, here it is again, verse 23. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, but they did not have sexual relations until the son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Think about it for a moment. Joseph is struggling. Joseph is struggling. He's like, this story doesn't really make sense in my mind. It doesn't make sense to me intellectually. But the same night as he laid down to go to sleep, as he was struggling, as he was worrying, as he was wringing his hands, this is my girl. This is Mary. I've dreamt of marrying her. Now this is not making sense. And he finally dozes off and goes to sleep. And as he goes to sleep, he has a dream. And God sends the angel once again and says to Joseph, Joseph, what Mary told you is true. He said, the angel said to Joseph, the baby that Mary is carrying was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Take her as your wife. And Joseph woke up the next morning and he took her as his wife. How many of you know being obedient to what God tells you to do will not always make sense to everybody around you, and sometimes it doesn't really feel good. But we have to continue to be obedient to whatever God is asking us to do. So Joseph, Mary has an encounter. Joseph has an encounter. They come together. They're walking in obedience to God. And then here's what I want you to see. The next thing that happens is Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. They're walking out the supernatural plans of God. It's not easy. They're frustrated. Not everybody believes them. They're tired, worn out. And guess what happens next? Luke 2, verse 1. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken by Quirinius, who was governor of Syria. All should return to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available to them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance and the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others and the armies of heaven praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and they found Mary and Joseph. And there was a baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Think about it. Joseph and Mary traveling all the way back to Bethlehem. How many of you know all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, to those that are called according to his purposes? They weren't just going back to Bethlehem for the census. They weren't just going back to Bethlehem so that they could pay taxes. They were going back to Bethlehem because once again, Old Testament prophecy had foretold that the Savior of the world was going to be born in Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. It's the supernatural realm and the supernatural power of God working it all out. Micah 5, 2. But you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you, Bethlehem, shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient of days. They get to Bethlehem to fulfill prophecy. There is no room at the end, and all of a sudden, Mary's water breaks. And she says, honey, I don't know if she said honey, because I've been in the room with a pregnant woman before. She said, get me someplace to lay down. And he said, we've tried the Holiday Inn, the Hampton Inn, the Super 8, and the Motel 6. Honey, we got nowhere. She said, right now, he said, here's a barn. And he takes her and lays her down in the barn, and she gives birth. She gives virgin birth to the Savior and the Messiah of the world. Why is it so important? Let's talk about this. Why is it so important that it's the Immaculate Conception? Why is it so important that Jesus was born to a virgin woman? It is so important because we have to know that Jesus is not the son of a man. He is the son of Almighty God. That's what makes him worthy. That's what makes him holy. That's what makes him able to pay for your and my sins and our trespasses. How many know that is supernatural? That is unexplainable. That is abnormal. Let's look at one more scripture and then we'll start to wind this down. One more scripture of the supernatural power of God. Let's talk about the wise men. Let's talk about the wise men who are seeking Jesus. How did they find Jesus? How did they know he was in a barn in Bethlehem? How did they know? They did not have GPS capabilities on their smartphone. They could not look at Mary's Instagram location and figure out where to go. They only got there by the supernatural divine guidance of an almighty God so they could see the Messiah that day. Matthew chapter 2, verse number 9. Matthew chapter 2, verse number 9. After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star that they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them, and it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered in and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Can I tell you, it was a supernatural hand of God that brought them to that particular place. Now, ever since I've had children, I'd take my children outside at night, and I would say, y'all got to learn to find the North Star. I grew up a cowboy. I grew up hearing these old tales of how these cattle drives were going up north, and every night, they had to point the wagon towards the North Star. That way, the next day, they would know that was the direction north. So I took my kids outside, and I said, here is the North Star. They know how to find it. But you know what? I was thinking about this. We could look at the North Star and we can follow the North Star and it will not really actually take me to one particular place. We can follow the North Star all the way to the North Pole. But in this instance, the Star of David, the Star of Bethlehem, it miraculously appeared to the wise men and they began to follow it. And God went before them and he took the star and he lowered it down right above the barn where Jesus was. It is only a supernatural act of God that the wise men found baby Jesus. It's supernatural, y'all. Somehow, some way, the God of wonders raised up this star. Can I just tell you, you can read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and there is never, ever any other account before this or after this where anybody else says, we saw the Star of Bethlehem. It's only right here to announce the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's supernatural. What I want you and me to see today and take away from this story is how many of you know God is a practical God. Come on, somebody. He walks with us daily. He talks with us daily. He gives us direction in our relationships. He's practical. He's a relational God. And he's a God that came and met us on the flesh, in the flesh. But we can never forget God's a supernatural God. God can do things that no one thinks can be done. God can do things. He did it in Mary's life. And I'm going to tell you something. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God did something supernatural in the life of Mary, I want you to know here today that God can do something supernatural in your life, that he can do the impossible, that he can do the things that you thought couldn't be done. God is looking for someone to move in a supernatural way. He's looking for that above and beyond what is explainable, a phenomenon. I want us to see that God will stop at nothing to carry out his plan for our eternal salvation, and that nothing can stop God's plans from coming to pass. God is a God of wonders. Can I just say to you today, do you remember when you first got saved? I do. I remember the first time I fully grasped the idea that Jesus came and died on the cross and paid for my sins. The sins that condemned me, the sins that made me feel unworthy, the sins that brought shame into my life. I remember when I first understood that, and can I tell you, I stood in wonder of how good God was. I'm afraid over the years sometimes we lose our awe and we lose our wonder for this awesome God that we serve. And I pray today that we can look and go, wow, God is supernatural. God is a God of wonders. Can I tell you? That's why we worship God. Why would we worship a God that couldn't do more than we can do? Why would we worship a God that could only do what seems to be impossible? That's why we worship him. That's why we give our lives to him. That's why we show up at church. That's why we read the word of God. That's why we pray, because God can do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that I can ask or think. He's a wonder-working, supernatural God. What can we learn from this story? Sometimes the supernatural plans of God can be confusing. Come on, somebody. Like when the Lord called me to preach, I was confused. So was everyone around me. I was confused. Sometimes it can be confusing. Sometimes it can be disturbing. God said, I want you to be a pastor. I want you to be a preacher. And I was disturbed by that because I thought preachers were weird. Come on, somebody. I was even afraid. Me? What do you mean, me? Like I'm not real smart. I'm not real intelligent. I haven't been to seminary. Like sometimes God's plans can be disturbing and confusing and fearful. But I'm telling you, God can work it all out for good if you and I will just say and repeat the words of Mary: "I am your servant, and let it be, O God." How can somebody like me be a pastor for 25 years? How can somebody like me be married to one woman for 28 years? How can it be? Only by the supernatural power of God. I want you to get in touch with that today. You say, Cody, oh, you know, I believe God's a supernatural God, but I just don't think he can do it in me. Because I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. Can I tell you what God wants from you and I? What makes you and I a candidate for the supernatural power of God? Look at the life of Mary, a life of devotion and consecration. We don't know if Mary could sing. We don't know if Mary could preach. We just know that Mary was a virgin, which meant she had some standards in her life, and she obeyed the word of God. She followed the commandments of God. She was devoted to God. And I'm telling you here today, if we will live a life of devotion and consecration to God, that makes us a candidate for the supernatural power of God to move. That's all it takes. Let's be like Mary. Let's embrace this thing. Conrad worship team, would you come help me close? Walking out the plans of God won't always be easy. Sometimes we won't understand it, and certainly some around us won't understand it. I want to challenge you today. Stay hooked. Stay hooked. Have a little bit of grit. Have a little bit of I'm going to do hard things. Because when you do, when I do, when we stay hooked in the middle of turmoil and trial, God's plans will work out and it will bring joy unspeakable to you and to many around you. I'm going to challenge you today. Wise men and women still seek Jesus. Come on, somebody. In our marriage, in our finances, in our relationships, in our personal life, wise men and women still seek Jesus. And I want you to hear me on this. Everybody look. If you're here today and you're seeking Jesus for the first time or for the 100th time, I want you to know if your heart is turned towards seeking Jesus, God the Father will align the stars and do whatever he has to do and raise up a light that will direct you to the very place where you can encounter a risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And once you encounter him, your life will never be the same. Follow the star. Follow the light. Today we celebrate Jesus and his birthday. This unexplainable, abnormal phenomenon of a Savior who came to redeem each one of us. That's why we celebrate Christmas. The supernatural power of God. Let me ask you something right quick and then I'm closing. Don't tell me you can't look at your life and not see the supernatural power of God. Come on, Kevin Burns. Can you not look at your life and see the supernatural power of God in where you are? Captain, what about you? Look at your life, man. Butch and Donna, praise God, the supernatural power of God. Coach, look at your life. Bruce, look at your life. Look at your family. Reggie, look at you. Bullwhip, look at, I mean, like, can we not stop and go, I didn't get where I am today? And I don't have the blessings I have today, Kelly. I don't get where I am by anything that I've done or that my family did or that money did. It is only by the supernatural hand of God that I am still alive and that I am full of joy and I'm living the blessings of God. We got to get in touch with the supernatural God that can move in your life just like he moved in the life of Mary. I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet and I'm going to pray for you and we're going to close. Father, we just love you and we thank you for today. We thank you for this room. We thank you for this house. Most of all, we thank you for the people that are in this room. For the people who have tuned their ears to hear your word today and to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I know some people are confused. Some people are disturbed. Some people, God, right now they're just a little bit fearful about the situations they're in and the future that they have. And I pray, God, that you would send your Holy Spirit to come down and just comfort their hearts and encourage their minds, Lord, that we would make commitments to go, you know what? I'm going to seek and serve a supernatural God. Lord, that we would just tune our hearts and our minds towards you, God. And for the people in here that are struggling, thinking, I can't get out and this is never going to work, Lord, I pray the words of God over them. I pray scripture over them. Lord, I pray pray for those that feel like that we're facing an impossible situation. I pray Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, and it says that Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So I pray, God, that we would have a spirit of expectancy, that we would have a spirit of anticipation, that you're going to show up at the appointed place and the appointed time, and you're going to do what seemed to be impossible, because you are a possible God. You are a mighty God. You are a wonder-working God, Lord. I speak Psalm 147, verse 5, that says, great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond our measure, Lord. I speak the scripture, and I speak Job chapter 5, verse number 9, a man, Job, who was going through more trials, who was going through more struggles, and I speak his words. He said, God does great things, too marvelous for us to understand. He performs countless miracles. Lord, I speak the words of the prophet Habakkuk in chapter 1, verse 5. Look among the nations and see, wonder, and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your day that you would not believe it if I told you. Lord, let us look for you to do a work that is wonderful and that is astounding, and that we wouldn't even believe if we knew it. Lord, I speak Daniel chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. I want you to know about the miraculous signs and the wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how powerful are his wonders. His kingdom will last forever, and his rule is through all generations. So speak to every heart, speak to every mind, speak to every household. Let us leave here looking for the wonders